2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. That's the word, folks. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Verse 18. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that can't be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Are you troubled this morning? Are there concerns you have pressing upon your heart? No matter what it is, take it to the Lord in prayer. Push the easy button. Then simply believe in Him as able to do what you have asked. In Mark 11:24, therefore, I say to you, Jesus is speaking, whatever things you ask when you pray and press the easy button, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The Living Bible says it this way, you can pray for anything. And if you believe, you have it. It's yours.
That was easy.
Now, the Lord pointed something out to me. I said, maybe the Lord, the Spirit, whatever. On Thursday, we had prayer. Awesome prayer on Wednesday. And we prayed at the end. Each one of us that were here prayed and pressed the easy button. And there was some things that took place that it didn't hit me, like I say, till Thursday. And I was praying before I got started here. And the Lord said, did you notice? I says, what? He said, those who prayed with the easy button. He says, did you notice, though, they prayed and they pressed a button? I said, yeah. He says, but did you notice what happened? I said, no. They pressed the easy button, and they were pushing it.
That was easy.
How many times did it take him to press the easy button? The first time you press the easy button, he heard you. There's a point in time when you have to wait. There's the point which you prayed, you pressed a button, now you got to believe. There's the period that we didn't. We got impatient. Some people went,
That was it.
And I said, you didn't let it finish. And I was thinking, I didn't point it out until the next day. It works the same way. When we go to God with our problem and we give it to Him, then there's that period for us where we must exercise faith and we must have patience. We must trust in Him with our whole heart. Because we must have faith in God. That's Jesus saying that in Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. You press the button, there's a delay. Now sometimes there's instantaneous. Most of the time for us, there's a delay. What are we doing in the meantime in that delay? During that delay, you better be raising a hallelujah. Because He done heard you. And then you're going to hear the answer you wanted. That was easy. Now get back to about troubles. Troubles. There are times when we receive bad news and we get to feeling down. Well, how do you get up when you're down? Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 here. And this is where Jesus, he tells his disciples of his death and his coming departure from them. And they're at this point very troubled because they're hearing that Jesus is going to be leaving them. This was not good news at all. But, exclamation point, but, right? You got to understand that. Put that in quotes, okay, with your exclamation point. But, as Timmy preached, but God, okay? Don't let your hearts be troubled, verse 1. Easy for him to say. Jesus says, trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home for everyone. It's not going to be crowded there. It is with believers, but not to the point of bumping elbows. It's so vast, so beautiful, so expansive. You can't even imagine in your mind what heaven is going to be like. If you stop, though, and you think about it, there's going to be sunshine. There's going to be peace. There's going to be contentment. You're not going to get upset by somebody cutting you off, turning down the wrong road. It's going to be very peaceful there, very pleasant place to be. And Jesus is telling them, he's preparing that place. He's preparing that place for all of us. He says, if this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. That is a promise. And a promise is a promise. And who made the promise? Who made it? Jesus. Jesus made that promise. And in Numbers 23, verse 19, the New Living Translation, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he doesn't change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? No. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? No. He is faithful. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. When it is a promise from Jesus, it's also a promise from God. In John 14, verse 10, Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Wow. He is faithful who promised. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Verse 4. And you know the way to where I'm going, guys. Because Jesus says in verse 6 there, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus wanted to calm their concerns, knowing that they were down. So he reassured them with these words. With these words, he brought comfort to them. How are you going to comfort someone who is sad when you know that the road ahead will be a rough one? We can't change the circumstances, so what words of comfort do we have? We need to listen to Jesus here, because he is with you in the middle of the storm. He is with you in the middle of your storm. Jesus is the one who truly understands human needs and sorrows. He's a God that came to this earth and became like you and I, so that he could experience what we experience. He felt what you feel. Those emotions that you have, the sorrows, the pains, he experienced them. He can identify with what you're going through. He can. He gave it all up, became human to be able to say, I understand. When your vision is being stripped away, you don't know what's going on at the time, he says, I know that. I know that feeling. I know what it's like to not be able to see. But I have come, and he can restore visions. One touch. And how do you reach out and touch him? By faith. Press the easy button. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And he says, trust in God, but also trust in me. Jesus' first response was faith. His first response was faith. Because he knew without faith, it's impossible to please him. We're talking about the Father. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We need to trust him. The circumstances will be tough, but we can trust him. We need to tell ourselves, like the song, Trust in You by Lauren Daigle. It says, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. You are my strength and comfort. You are my steady hand. You are my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. Your ways are always higher. Your plans are always good. There's not a place where I'll go you have not already stood. I will trust in you. I will trust in you. You got to trust him, folks. You got to trust him. In John 14 there, verse 1, the Amplified Bible says it this way. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in me, you believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely also on me, Jesus says. Rely. Rely means depend on with full trust and confidence. Be dependent on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Real simple. God is faithful. God is faithful. He is faithful and He will not let you down. Faithful means trustworthy, reliable, dependable. Our God is dependable. So trust in God, but trust also in me, Jesus says. Jesus' answer sounded so simplistic. Told him, just trust him. Come on, trust me. But see, the real issue, when we are troubled, could it be that we are not trusting in him fully? Okay, nobody threw nothing. Good. Think about that. I don't say put the blame, but think about it. Are you trusting him 100%? I find myself doing that. I start that little bit of wavering, and then I got to put my foot down and say, no, I'm not going that direction. I know what your word says. I know that I'm healed. I know that I'm healed as much as I know that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. Everyone in here is going to heaven, right? Y'all got Jesus in your heart. Well, guess what? You also got healing in your body. He did it on the cross. When he got nailed to that cross, he took sickness, disease, he took it all. So when we're going through something, we got to make sure that we're putting 100%. It's not a little bit of give and take. Give it to him. Depend on him. He can deliver. Proverbs 3:5 in the Amplified says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, because he knows that's the battlefield. And do not rely on your own insight or your own understanding. Press the easy button. Then wait on him. Raise the hallelujah. And then you'll hear, that was easy. That was easy. Luke 8. You can turn there. Luke 8. Now, the synagogue ruler. This is when some of the men came down and tell Jairus, your daughter's dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. And Jesus' response was simple. Don't be afraid. Simply believe. Amplified. Verse 49 through 55 here. While he was still speaking, this is Jesus, he's speaking because a woman just got healed. Not because he touched her. She reached out and touched him. And he needed to clarify what had just happened to everyone around. All right. A man from the house of the director of the synagogue came and said to Jairus, your daughter's dead. Do not worry and trouble the teacher any further. Can you imagine what that did to him? Because he's already standing there with a group of people, like the commercial on TV for the tailgate falls down. Na, na, na. Hey, hey. You know, jaws are dropped open. Verse 50. But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. Simply believe. Simply believe in me as able to do this. Do what? When he pressed the easy button, he asked Jesus to heal him. Heal my daughter. She's going to die. Will you come to my house? That's what he had asked. And Jesus said, simply believe in me is able to do this, and she shall be made well. Jesus' words. And she shall be made well. Simply believe. Verse 51. And when he came to the house, he permitted no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. And all were weeping for and bewailing, which is mourning her. But Jesus said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. She's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. They mocked him. Knowing full well that she was dead. According to everything they knew, this girl was dead. They laughed at him. There was no life left in that little girl's body. But, in the house, though, was the resurrection and the life. That's what was in the house. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said it. And grasping her hand. One touch is all it took. Never the same. He called, saying, child, arise from the sleep of death. And her spirit returned from death. And she arose immediately. And he directed that she should be given something to eat. They laughed. Oh, who's laughing now? Jairus pressed the easy button. Simply believed and heard Jesus say, that was easy, as he handed back that little girl, totally healed. She was alive, folks. That was easy. Because he went there, he believed, and there was a pause. She was already dead, according to man. One touch is all it takes. One touch. Simple? Yes. Easy? Yes. When you give it to him and you do it in faith. Hebrews 11:1, Amplified. Now faith is the substance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. But see, we react with everything by our senses. When you're going through something and it's afflicting your body, them senses is going to but you can speak to them. You can speak to them in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you can speak to your body. I speak to mine. And them senses want to kick back. And then that means I got to speak a little louder. Because it ain't going to take me down. It ain't going to take me down. That's what you ought to say. It ain't going to take me down. No matter what I'm going through, I have the victory. That's what you ought to be saying. I have the victory. Lynn has the victory. She said, I'm building an ark. So I sent her a text back the other day. I said, how's the ark coming along? You know what she said? Still cutting the timber, Pastor. I said, well, Praise God. She's still cutting the timber. And you know what? During the whole process, that lengthy process that Noah took to build that ark, he didn't build it in a day, did he? Took a long time to build that ark. But the ark was completed. The ark floated, and it brought life. See, Bob, I'm just saying, your wife has the positive attitude of being the victor because Jesus lives within her, and she knows that. That's why we pray for her. We pray for her to continually stand and to stand strong. She has the victory in Jesus' name. Too simple? We may say, we need to do something, though. The something we can do is leave it in God's hands. That's the part we need to do. Leave it in His hands. We keep wanting to take it back out of His hand. Leave it with Him. How many of you remember the DVD we watched on Rick Renner? You remember that? Remember that, Kyle? Kyle even came to me. Can I have it? He took it home, watched it a couple of times. Well, Rick Renner was in the middle of a building project. And everything you could believe come against that. Now, he knows that God wanted him to complete this building project, huge building project. But weather things happened along the way. And he was always worrying about it, Oh, what can I do? I got to make this kind of decision. And then he would get through it. And it was hard. And then it came down to where there was finances. The finances were falling apart. He needed big time cash money. Where is it going to come from? And he's worrying, and he keeps telling his wife about it. And I like what his wife said. Rick, honey, give it to the Lord. Press the easy button. And when he did that, that was easy. All the money he needed for that project came in. People were making phone calls. Hey, Rick, the Lord put it on my heart that you needed this. That was easy. But in the meantime, he worried. You don't have to worry. Give it to the Lord. Press the easy button. Trust me, Jesus says. Better yet, Jesus says, can you really trust me? See, that's the question he's asking. Can you really trust me? See, it's no wonder we're troubled. The problem is not the problem. See, the real problem is we just aren't trusting him. So it's not the problem. It's our attitude and our perspective to the problem. Do we see it as something very difficult? Hard to do? Or do we see it as impossible? Take your easy button. This easy button, it's powered by two AAA batteries. Okay? Your spiritual easy button is powered by faith. And if there isn't any faith, you can press that easy button all you want, and it ain't going to work. So to keep your button fully charged, we must charge it with faith. And how does faith come? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to spend time reading His Word. You got to be in church to hear the Word preached. And your easy button will be fully charged. That when you press it, you'll get your answer. That was easy. Genesis 18, verse 14. We're asked a question here. So I'm going to ask you, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. The Lord says, is anything too difficult for me? He's asked another question. Is there anything too difficult for me? When you look up, there isn't. Let's look up to Him. Just like you have to do to that screen hunter, you got to look up. Difficult. That means hard to deal with, manage, or overcome. What is the opposite of difficult? Easy. Easy means achieved without great effort. How hard is it to go, and then you just wait? And for the impossible, we have Matthew 19, verse 26. New Living Translation. With God, everything is possible. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 6. The Good News Translation. The Lord says, ready? But it's not impossible for me. It's not impossible for me. He said that. So when you press the easy button, it's not impossible. What's impossible for God? Nothing. With God, all things are possible if one simply believes. Mark 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm sure most of us have read the Serenity Prayer. It's printed on bookmarkers, cups. It's on wall hangings. Most everybody has one or has a copy of it somewhere or another. So God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And wisdom to know the difference. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Serenity, the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. See, that's the ability to trust God and be at peace. Because when you put your faith in Him, He will give you peace. That peace that surpasses all understanding. Dr. W.A. Criswell talks about the kind of faith we have by comparing it to an operation. If you've ever had surgery, you go in and the anesthesiologist gives you an injection into your IV and connects the tube supplying the anesthetic. You wonder, how long will it take to put me to sleep? And that's the last thing you remember because you're out like a light. You have put yourself into the hands of the anesthesiologist and the surgeon completely. You're as helpless as a newborn baby. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." So he goes on to say, this is about faith. It is not only the committal of our lives, it is not only full trust, but it is the abandonment of any hope of any kind in anyone else or in any other way. It is a surrendering of ourselves to Christ. There is nothing else to save. There is no one else to turn to. Faith. Faith, total trust and dependence on God. Sometimes that's what we got to get to. When man doesn't have an answer, that's when we realize we got to give it all to Him. When we should have done it in the first place. I'm just telling you what I've went through too. It is easy for us to trust, though, in things that we can see and touch, though. But we all have a little bit of Thomas in us, don't we? In John chapter 20, verse 25, Thomas is quoted as saying, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Wow. "I will not believe," he said. But then Jesus comes to him in verse 27 here, John 20, verse 27 through 29. "Then Jesus said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord, my God.'" That's what it took. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed." Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, folks. Faith is a walk in the darkness with your hand firmly planted in the hand of a God you can't see. And when you lock hands with Him, He never lets go. Through the calm and through the storm, in every high and every low, the Lord never lets go. See, don't see God through the lenses of trials. See trials through the lenses of God. So what is true faith in action? Abel believed God and offered a sacrifice. Noah built an ark and lived. Whole bunches of years, brother. Abraham packed up his belongings and left home without knowing where God was leading him. He also laid his own son on the altar to offer him up. David went out and fights Goliath with some stones. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. But there's a lot of you all said, "Well, wait a minute, he sank." But he did walk on the water to a point. But he wavered in his faith. He didn't have total confidence and trust in who called him to walk on the water. Well, we'd be reading a different story, wouldn't we? But the point of it is, he didn't stay seated in the boat, did he? He stepped out of the boat. Faith is action. Faith believes in God. Faith raises a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. So no matter what, raise your hallelujah. Amen. And that's where we're going to stop for the day. Hallelujah.